I want you to turn your Bible to two places this morning. Turn to the book of Luke chapter 24 and then find the book of Genesis chapter 6. Thank you for praying for us. And boy, I tell you, I got wonderful reports through the Facebook and everything. Brad preaching last Sunday morning and then Linwood last Sunday night. And the way the time worked, I preached at Brother Tom's. We started early over there and up in Virginia in the evening service. And so I got to hear a good bit of Brother Linwood's. And I thank the Lord for that. Thank God for the blood. Amen. And I know that Brad preached a passage of Scripture that I'm not going to preach on. I'm looking at, and I don't know how, leading up to Easter and the crucifixion. I want to read Luke, but he preached on Abraham and Isaac and the sacrifice. Abraham was going to sacrifice his own son, but God gave a ram to offer in the stead of his son. That's substitutionary salvation. And the what? The Lamb of God came to take away the sin of the whole world. Jesus Christ died. And what I'm fixing to read you in Luke chapter 24, last night there was a scene that they've added in this year, and I'm not going to give it all away to you, but it's this story right here in the last part of Luke. And it's after the resurrection of our Lord, and he's been seen at the tomb by some of the ladies, but the disciples still got big question marks. You know, they've been with him 3.5 years. He told them he was going to suffer. He told them he's going to die. Told them he's going to resurrect, and they still not sure of it. Still got question mark. But those women saw him. And here are some disciples who are walking back home and going back to their place, and Jesus shows up and walks with them. And I'm just going to read one verse here to kind of show you where we're going. And as they're walking, Jesus wants to know why they're so sad. And then they tell him, because of Jesus, he died. We had trusted he'd been the Messiah and so on, but he suffered, bled, and died. We saw his body. And, you know, some going to the tomb said he's resurrected. We don't know for sure. Look at verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then, this is Jesus speaking, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, not less what he said. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Watch this. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They had a Bible lesson like nobody's ever had. The resurrected Lord went through the Old Testament all the way from Moses through the prophets, and it showed them Christ in the Old Testament. And he said to the scribes and Pharisees while he was yet on the earth, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. And all through here, and he tells these men, you should have believed the prophets. You should have believed what was said in the Old Testament about him. And so Christ is pictured for us and the person of Christ and his ministry and all that in the Old Testament. And what Brad preached on last Sunday morning is one of those wonderful passages of Scripture. But now go back to the book of Genesis. And this is one that you may not have thought about. But as I was going through, Wednesday night, I appreciate Brother Tim preaching on Wednesday night. He always does a fantastic job. And I love him and Wendy. Thank God for how God's using them. But two Wednesday nights ago, I dealt with you or shared with you the first one that I wanted to look at. And that was Adam and Eve in the garden. And the first promise of the Messiah, the seed of the woman, not the seed of her husband, but the seed of the woman, and his name is going to be Jesus, and he will bruise the head of Satan. He'll crush the head of Satan. And you know, I didn't deal with that much in that message on Wednesday night. I got talking about the other part of it. But I want to come now to something that you might not ever think about, and maybe you have, about Jesus. I don't know. Nobody knows exactly what he said, but it said he started with Moses. That's the first 5 books of the Bible there. And he told them about himself in all of the scriptures. I don't think he skipped over any. I think when he came to the flood, he said, I want to show you something. I want to show you something this morning that the Holy Ghost will help us. Notice, if you will, please, in the book of Genesis and in chapter number 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and that daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, they bare children of them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Watch this. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begot 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. And God said to Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion wherewith thou shalt make the length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth 50 cubits, and the height will be 30 cubits. Now, the length of it is 450 feet long. A cubit is roughly 18 inches. Length of this ark is 450 feet long. It's 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Some of you have been to see the replica of the ark. We hadn't got to go yet. I hope to go. But everybody who's ever been said they are astounded when they see it. They have no comprehension. It's hard for us to comprehend. Let me just kind of give you a little bit of perspective. A football field is 300 feet long. This is half again that long. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. And then he goes on and he said, And a window shalt thou make in the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above. It's going to be up on the top. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. It's going to be 3 stories. And behold, I bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And every living thing that is on the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives. And of every living thing of all flesh, 2 of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing upon the earth after his kind. 2 of every sort shalt come unto thee to keep them alive, and to take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. And the Lord said to Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Skip over and look at verse 9. There went in 2 and 2 unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. And the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, the 17th day of the month, the same day, were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Go over, if you will, please, skip down to verse 14. And they and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after their kind, and every fowl after his kind, and every bird of every sort. And they went in to Noah into the ark, two and two, of all flesh, wherein the breath was the breath of life. And they that went in male and female, of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the water prevail. That means above the mountain, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both fowls and cattle and beast and every creep thing that creepeth upon the earth and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowls of heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost would help me now. Thank you for the wonderful singing of the choir, and God, for touching and blessing Brother Danny, our Father, as he shared that special song with us, Worthy. You are worthy of our worship. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost right now, oh, God, would move across this congregation and into the media audience. Our Father, we're living in the last days. There's warnings that go out daily, and people don't heed them. They don't care. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would help somebody to hear and to heed today. And I pray, God, that someone would find refuge in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, I need you. I pray, God, you take over. Lord, I pray you'd say every word needs to be said through me this morning. And God, make it powerful to impact lives forever. Bless your people. And God, thank you again. Lord, we look forward to tonight. And Lord, once again, Lord, for your blessing. I pray you safe watch care over every cast member, every person who has a part in the program tonight. And God, I pray you draw people by your grace into this building. But God, right now, I pray, Father, that you'd move across this congregation in the media audience, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Old Testament, we have what's called types of Christ. That is pictures. They're foreshadowings of Christ coming, and they pictures Christ and what he's like. And here's one of those foreshadowings. I don't know what the Lord talked to those disciples about. I don't know all the details, but it said that he expounded to them all things in the scriptures concerning him. Now that's Old Testament. There's no such thing as a New Testament. And so he started at Genesis and went through, and John last night, he's in that scene, and he said, man, he said, when Jesus walks up behind me, he said, I felt something all over me. And I said, well, maybe the real one showed up too, praise God. But you know, could you imagine what that was like for him to go through the whole Old Testament and expound things about himself? Here's one of those things. I believe the ark is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's a picture of what Christ has done for us. I want you to consider in the first place the condition of the world in this situation. It said that the whole world was held in wickedness, and every imagination of their heart and mind was only evil continually. The whole earth was corrupt. I mean, everybody in it was wicked. And God saw it all. There's so many things I don't see and so many things you don't see. When we were up in revival, Brother Tom celebrated his second anniversary, it was homecoming, on that Sunday in that new building. The church has been going for about 9 years altogether, I think. But at any rate, his son is a sheriff in that county. And 2 days during the revival, the boy was in court. There was a couple there in one of those towns, I won't call any names or anything, that he was involved in the case. They got a call for domestic violence. And when he went into the home, there was a boyfriend, and the wife was or the mother of the children were not there at that time, but she was arrested later. But they had two twin boys, 2 years old. And when the police had arrived, they found one of those boys dead. This grown man had beaten that two-year-old child until he broke just about every bone in his body. And he was dead when they got there. When Michael went in, he said the other little boy, 2 years old, came running to him. He'd never seen the little boy before. The boy had no idea who he was. But somehow or another, he thought if I could get to him, I'd be safe. Michael, the deputy, sure picked him up and held him and wept. He's got a little boy the same age. And Mandy, his wife, said when he came home from work that day, he went straight to his little boy, Micah, and he picked him up and held him and loved him. How in the world could somebody do that? How in the world could a grown man take a little baby and beat it with his fist and whatever else he hit him with until he beats the life out of him? Wicked. This world's wicked. And I'm telling you, it's getting worse and worse. Well, the Bible said he would. In the last days, that men will become wicked. The wicked will wax worse and worse, and it's getting that way. The Lord Jesus Christ makes reference to this story. I know he does in the New Testament when he talks about Jesus Christ coming back. And he says, as it was in the days of Noah, they were marrying, giving in marriage, eating, drinking, all those things, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall it be in coming the Son of Man. He equates that time in history with this time in history. He doesn't mention about the wickedness in that day, but it's in the Word of God, so certainly he did. But he said, at that time, he said, I'm coming. I'm coming to rapture my church out. I'm coming to take my children, but I'm coming to bring judgment on this earth. Wicked. They were wicked. And here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in this ark, and I'll share it with you quickly. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, book of Colossians, and several of the New Testament books in the beginning, Paul addresses his letters to those who are in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. In this ark, everybody inside the ark was safe or saved. Everybody outside of the ark died. Everybody who is in Christ is saved for all eternity. But everybody outside of Christ will perish in a place called hell forever and forever. My dear friend, there's only one hope for them. There was only one hope for them. It was that ark. And the Bible said that he preached 120 years. You know how many converts he got? He got his family. And God, that's the only ones got in. Nobody else listened. I saw on the news while we were away about the tragic explosion over there in Durham. I heard immediately the one man lost his life. And one morning I had gone over, I always get up early and I go over to the little place there, a little breakfast nook thing, and I read Bible and pray. And the news was on. And they were talking about it after it happened. And I was thinking how tragic. And I don't know if you've watched it or not, and I don't know all the details. I don't want to say anything's not true, but this is what I saw in the morning news. They said that the fireman went to the man who died and told him there's a gas line rupture. You got to leave right now. And the words of the commentator and the witnesses was, he refused to leave. Fireman went to get a policeman to forcibly have him to leave. And before they could get him and get back with the policeman, the explosion happened. He died. Now, whose fault is that? Whose fault was it that he died? Was it the man who broke the gas line? Or was it the man who refused to listen to the warning? If you're in this building or you're in the sound of my voice in the media audience and you die and go to hell, there's nobody else's fault but yours. Jesus said, you will not come to me that you might have life. 120 years, Noah preached. Nobody listened. You preach your heart out, and people will not listen. They refuse to listen. But God made provision. I want you to notice that this was God's idea. It was not man's idea to build an ark. But God spoke to Noah, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the only way anybody ever gets saved is by grace, something we do not deserve. And God extended grace to Noah, and he told him how to build the ark. Now, salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ's coming was not something that man planned. The plan of salvation, so far as Jesus Christ died on the cross, being buried and resurrected, is not something Baptists came up with or anybody else. It's God's plan. And it's the only hope. There are not two arcs, three arcs, or four arcs. There was only one. And there's only one means of salvation, and God gave specific plans for how to build it. Now watch this. He built the ark before the judgment fell. And my dear friend, the Bible said that Jesus Christ, in the mind of God, was slain before the foundation of the world. God didn't have to scramble around and come up with a plan B when Adam sinned in the garden. He already had a plan. He didn't frantically draw up the diagram for the ark, and he didn't frantically plan out the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In eternity past, he knew what would happen. He knew man would sin. He knew the judgment would have to fall. But he made provision ahead of time. And before you were ever born, God has already made provision for your salvation. He's already laid all of our sin on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, he had to build this ark. And if it represents Christ, there are going to be some elements about it that would make us think about Christ. Number one, there was living trees, and they had to be cut down in order for it to be resurrected into life. The Lord Jesus Christ grew up as a root out of dry ground, and he said that he was cut off from the land of the living. The Lord Jesus Christ was cut down, some people would say in his prime, 33 years old, maybe 33 and a half. Just those trees that were living and flourishing, they were cut down, and they had to die so Noah and his family could live. And Jesus Christ died so you could live. And he took those trees, and I know it was a laborious task and took a long time. It was a massive structure. But he said, you build it. And notice some things about it. He said when he built the ark, and I read it to you there a while ago, when they built the ark, according to God's specs and according to God's plan, he put a window in it. And the window is up at the above. It says above. It's at the top. And when Noah and the people were down in the ark, they couldn't walk over to the window and look out at the carnage and the decaying flesh and all that. The only place and the only light that they had was to look up. And when you come into the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Peter did, when he had his eyes fixed on Jesus, he was doing well. But when he began to look at surroundings, he got down. And I go around, I preach Tuesday morning to a group of preachers. And a good many of those preachers were discouraged and depressed because of what's going on in the world. I tried to encourage them. You love the Lord and you set your eyes on Him. If you love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul and worship Him, be faithful to what God wants you to do. That's where it's at. If you look at the world, I mean, if you saturate your mind with all that's going on in the world, you'll get depressed. And there's a great deal of difference between a burden for the world and depression because of the world. It's one thing to have a burden to see people say, but it's another thing to get depressed over what's going on in the world. Do I like it? No, I don't like it. But I tell you what the Bible said. The Bible said I ought to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Look up, your salvation draweth near. God fixed it so they couldn't see the world. All they could do is look up to Him. He said, put a door in it. You put the door in the side of it. Now, I want you to notice, this thing is 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high, and it only has one door. This building, some of you guys can help me remember. I don't know. It's 100 and some odd feet long, I think. I don't recall the measurement. But man, we got doors everywhere. And this massive structure, if an engineer or HUD or the, what are the emergency, not the inspectors, whoever they are, they would require them to have more than one door. To be sure, you've got to have something that big. You've got to have more than one door. You've got to have the way to get out. I've got a friend who's got a small camper, and he got one that has two doors. I mean, it's a door here that goes into the kitchen, a door here comes out of the bedroom. And he said, they built it that way so if there happens to be a fire in the kitchen, you go out the back door. That makes good sense. But this massive structure, God said, you don't get but one door. You don't. And the truth of the matter is, it has not an exit over top of it. It is an entry door. They never came out once they went in, not out of that door. When you read the scriptures, you'll find, well, I can get ahead of myself, but I can't help it. I'm feeling pretty good right now. Amen. This door was for one thing. It was to go in, never to come out again. Praise God. When you come in, you don't ever get out. When you come to Christ, you're safe all eternity. He didn't mean for you to get out. He wants you to get in and stay in. He wants you to go to heaven and be there for all eternity. My dear friend, no exits out of that door. When you go in, thank God, you're saved forever and ever and ever forever. Thank God. Have that door. And then he said, you pitch it within and without. Where I go get my hair cut up in Dunn, there's a little book up there that I've been reading on a little bit. And it's about Tar Heels, not the basketball team. It's about the Tar Heels. Our state, way back in the 1700s, was famous for producing turpentine. That's what all the pine trees are about. And they made pitch out of it. And those old wooden ships, when they built them, they take and they put that tar on the inside of the ship and tar on the outside of the ship. They'd even take and put it on the ropes to keep it from deteriorating in that salt water. And it keep those hulls from being destroyed by the salt water and barnacles and all that get on metal ships. But inside, it was sealed as well. So it was sealed on the outside and sealed on the inside to protect them. And he said, you pitch it within and without with pitch. That word pitch, if you look at it in the Hebrew, it means, it's like the word atonement. It is a covering. And God had made it to preserve them. Once they got in, they were sealed inside of the ark. My dear friend, when you get saved, the Bible said that we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. My dear friend, we have been saved by the grace of God. And they were inside the ship. Now, notice what it said there to you a while ago, and I won't look at the reference right quick, but I just read it to you. Notice what he said. When he'd finished the ark and it was God's appointed time, God said, come thou into the ark and all thy family. Now, I want you to notice some things. Number one, God is inside that ark. He said, come in. He didn't say, go in. He said, come in. And my dear friend, salvation is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us an invitation. And God gave an invitation to come in. Notice it was a personal invitation. He speaks unto Noah, come thou. And he invites you personally to come to him. He's calling you to come to Christ. He's calling you to receive Christ as your Savior because the world's fixing to be destroyed. This world's fixing to be destroyed. And judgment's coming. You can just mark it down. It's already coming. God's already prophesied it's coming. And he's inviting you now to come to Christ. Come thou and all your family. And my dear friend, Noah went in, his wife went in, and his three boys and their wives went in the ark. And then God shut the door. He closed that door to seal them in. God himself closed the door and sealed them in. He said, you make it with three stories in it, three stories. And if this is a type of Christ, then it must mean something about God's work in my life. And in 1 Thessalonians, he said, God sanctify you wholly, body, soul, and spirit. Every aspect of my being is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sanctified in body, soul, and spirit through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Three's the number of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the three levels speak of salvation be the work of the Trinity. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There's God the Father and there's God the Son. But then it's the Holy Spirit of God who came to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and to come in our heart crying, Abba, Father. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three of them involved in my salvation. And they go into the ark, and in that ark, God has already made provision. And everything they'll need to live. Now, Noah had no idea how long he'd be in there. I don't know how he was reckoning food or how many days he's planning for, whatever. I think about Brother Cabot Barber. Cabot was sitting on a plane one time, and it was sitting there waiting to go, and it never would take off. And he's getting a little antsy. And the stewardess came by, and he said, ma'am, how come we're not kicking off? He said that they were taking a long flight. She said the pilot is calculating how much fuel he'll have to get there. Cabot said, well, tell him just to fill it up. I mean, you don't know how much you're going to need. Just fill it up. I don't know how much. Noah had no idea how much food to get, but you know how long it lasted? It lasted as long as they was in that thing. It was adequate provision for them, for their sustaining life, until it was over with. God knew, and God had made every provision for them. Shut them in the ark. The judgment began to fall. My dear friend, everybody outside the ark, they may have begged and pleaded to get in, but God shut the door. And when God shuts the door, you don't get in. If Noah didn't want to let anybody in, he couldn't let anybody in. They had adequate chances, and they rejected the gospel. They rejected the message to call, and God shut the door. They couldn't get in, and God sealed the door Himself. My dear friend, I think about that ship. He doesn't say anything about a rudder on it. It couldn't have a sail, doesn't have any of that. It's in that storm, but they're safe inside the storm. My dear friend, when you get saved by the grace of God, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have storms. Doesn't mean that the floods are not going to rise. Doesn't mean that the fountains of the deep's not open up and the rain fall from heaven for 150 days. But it means this. It means that you're going to be safe inside the ark. Now watch. There's a little word in there. He said inside the ark, not only do you have three stories, but you have rooms. Rooms. And I run across something that's quite interesting. That word is a little three-letter Greek word. It's G-E-N. It's just a little word. Rooms. But it really means a nest. It's the same word that's interpreted other places in the Old Testament as a nest. It's a place where birds rest. It's like a bed. And he said, inside this ship, inside this, in the middle of the storm, there's a place for everybody to rest. And my dear friend, in the midst of the storm, God's made provision that in the worst storm you're going through in your life, there is a place of rest. It's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can rest in that. Oh, listen, thank God for that. Here's a picture of Christ. God made the provision. God planned it. God called us to it. God places in it, pitched within, without, secure, safe, all the provisions we'll need while they're there. It's a place of rest. And they weathered the storm. And when all the judgment was over, it came to rest on Mount Ararat, on top of the mountain. To rest there. And the waters receded, and they were there. My dear friend, listen. God brought them through the storm and brought them to the top of the mountain. My dear friend, one of these days, when all the storms of life are over, we'll rest. We'll come to rest in a place called heaven, high above all this behind us, in a new world. When they came out of the ark, everything had been destroyed, but everything was brand new. My dear friend, when we get to heaven, everything will be brand new because of what Christ did for us. My question to you is this morning. Will you heed the call? Come thou in. Have you done that? Have you come into the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come to place? Now, if you don't respond, if Christ has made provision for you, if the ark is there, the person of Christ is there, salvation's planned, His provision is already made for you to rest and for all the food you'll need, for everything you'll need for the rest of your life. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Your sins will be taken care of by the atonement blood of Christ. And there'll be safety through all the storms of life, and you'll end up in heaven. If you die and go to hell, whose fault is it? Not your mama, not your daddy, but the one who refused to heed the call. If you don't respond to Christ today, if you don't turn in faith to Him, Jesus said, you would not come to me that you might have life. He wept over the city of Jerusalem, but they have to come to receive the gift. If you were saved, you say, Brother Billy, I'm going through the worst storm I've ever been in my life. That's all right. You're inside the ark. You're inside the ark. It's pitched within and without. The storms and the trials of this world won't touch you. God made you a place of rest. Rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look to Him, don't try to peek through the hole in the ship. The only place you can look is up, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence come my help, my help coming from the Lord. He didn't intend for us to fix our vision and our heart on this world, but to look toward heaven and to set our affection on things above and to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I kind of enjoyed that. I kind of got blessed a little bit myself when I was studying it. But I wasn't there on that road to Emmaus that day when the ark Himself and the Lamb Himself that was a substitute for Abraham and Isaac and the Passover Lamb explained to them about Passover and what it meant. I wasn't there. But I was there in my mama's yard when the Holy Ghost of God came to me and He showed me that Jesus Christ would be my Savior. He is the Lamb of God. He is the type, the ark is typical of Him. But He wants to be your personal Savior. Will you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, eye closed this morning? Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. He went through all the Old Testament and explained to them all the scriptures concerning Himself in types and shadows. Oh, there's so many. We could go right on and on and on. But today, you're living in a world that is just like the days of Noah. You're there. You're there to Matthew 24, I believe, with all my heart. You look around, you wonder, how could anybody vote and then clap and cheer for the fact that now you can kill a baby in the mother's womb at full term? As long as it is not the birth canal, as long as it's not coming out, you can still kill it. In a matter of moments, it would be a baby cuddled and loved and kissed. But they voted that you could kill it. You could kill it. Every imagination of their heart and thought was only evil continually. You're living in a land like that now. Jesus is coming. But there is an ark of safety. It is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can know Him, love Him, and He'll keep you safe in the storm. Oh, you're going to go through storms. There's no doubt about it. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, He said. Oh, you're going to go through some storm. But man, listen, I'm glad I'm inside the ark. The ship may be tossed. Thank God the old ship of Zion is going to make it home. One of these days we'll come to rest in a place called heaven. Our Heavenly Father, I pray God the Holy Ghost has made real some of the things You spoke to my heart about. And I pray God that, Lord, Your people, our Father, will see the picture. Lord, I know that blindness in part hath happened to Israel. But God, I pray that right now the Holy Ghost of God would open hearts and open eyes and open minds that they might receive Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, for those of us who are saved, help us to rest in the place of rest that You provided for us. In the storms of life, help us to find refuge in Jesus. And our Father, help us to look up, keep looking to You. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would help us to focus on Him, the author and finisher of our faith, that we might run with patience the race that's set before us and be faithful till Jesus come. God bless your people. Now, will you stand, please, with your heads bowed and eyes closed? While we are praying this morning, let me give you an invitation. First of all, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, I urge you, implore you, please, turn from sin and turn to the Savior. Receive Jesus as your Savior this morning. If you're here, you've never been saved. Brad begins to sing in a moment. If you'll take a step and come down the aisle, I'd be glad to share with you. There are others who'll pray with you and help you. Maybe you're a Christian and you know you're saved. Maybe you've been out of fellowship with Him. You haven't been worshiping like you ought to. Maybe you've had your eyes on all the decaying flesh around you instead of looking up at Jesus. Look up. Focus on Him. Worship Him. Love Him. Testify of His goodness. Share Him and what He did on the cross. That's the only way you can have any sanity in the world you're living in is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then I'd encourage you, my dear friend, if you've been praying about a church home or somewhere to serve God, we'd love you to be a part of the fellowship here. We'd love you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with us here. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that now men and women, boys and girls, will do now what they'll be glad for all eternity they've done. And we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name.